Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, June 24th, 2018. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. Her sermon today is, I Wonder, Can a Christian Hate? The Old Testament lesson today is Psalm 50, verses 16 to 21, and the New Testament reading is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21.
The letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. This is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. It's kind of a laundry list. There's a lot in here. But listen for what God is speaking to your heart today in this. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here ends the reading. Please join me in a word of prayer. God of wisdom, we recognize that we are not as wise as you are. We give you thanks for scripture and holy words that help us to know your will and your way. Teach us this day that your ancient words might be alive in us this day and alive in our world that needs to hear good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our summer series is about I Wonder and tackling some of those funny questions. This one was one of mine. I wonder, can a Christian hate? I was raised in a family that emphasized being nice to one another. My father's guiding words to me were, "You'll catch more bees with honey than with vinegar." Any of you get told that one? And I was told to be a nice girl. Now, yes, some of this is gender-based. I'm not so sure my brother got told to be a nice boy and got the same advice. But as I've come to learn, is also culturally based. I'm Japanese-American, and Japanese culture places a high value on politeness and on fitting in. And the smile on my face actually gets a lot of things done. And so for the most part, politeness and fitting in works rather well. We do value being nice in our culture. We want one another to have a nice day, right? Nice is giving pleasure or joy. The definition is good and enjoyable. It's an attractable and good quality. It's being kind and polite and friendly. And so we see niceness as this very positive quality. So you think, can a Christian hate, or is a Christian supposed to be nice? But here's the thing, niceness only gets you so far, because even the nicest of people get ticked off sometimes. Because no one can be nice all the time, nor, if you think about it, should they. So there is a time to leave niceness behind. There's a time to be the mama bear, standing up for what we protect and what we love. And in the face of danger and in the face of evil, being nice starts to look rather foolish. Are we supposed to look at things that are evil and harmful and say, we're just going to be polite to you? We're going to be friendly. I don't believe that Christians are called necessarily to be nice to evil. And in our news cycle and in the state of our world, I have to say that watching and hearing young children being separated from their parents did not bring out the nice side of me. It makes me mad. I just wanted to, and then here's the worst part. I wanted to jump up and down and like leap through the screen when I heard an official use scripture, use the Bible, to say, but our governing authorities have been appointed by God, and so you need to listen to your governing authorities. Hey! You're messing with me now. You're messing with my scripture now, and I'm not feeling so darn nice today. That's the word of the Lord, and you're using it to perpetuate harm? And so it makes me wonder about these words that Constance read from Psalm 50. Where God turns to the wicked and names some folks as wicked and say, what right have you to recite my statutes or to take my covenant on your lips? You give your mouth free rein for evil and your tongue frames deceit. It doesn't sound like God is being so nice to wickedness in that framework either. God instead, in verse 21, rebukes wickedness and lays charges that are against what God's will are. God rebukes the evil. God is not nice to the evil. And in our New Testament passage, Romans chapter 12, let love be genuine, hate what is evil. Did we just get instructed to hate something here? So hate probably can't be all bad. I mean, hate is a human emotion. It's that deep-seated anger. And the anger is not sinful in and of itself. Anger is an indicator. It's a pointer that something's wrong or something that we value deeply has been stepped on. And what one gets angry about says a lot about that person's character. You know what they love because you know what they hate. So if somebody hates losing, you know they love winning, and they love winning at all costs. If someone hates weakness, you know that they value strength and invulnerability. But also, if somebody hates lies and deceit, you know they love and value truth. And if somebody hates selfishness, you know that they value sharing and connecting with other people. And if someone turns and hates evil, then you know they value the good. So it's not the hate itself, I believe, that is the sin. It's where that hate is directed and what one does with it. Yes, there are times that the hate can be destructive. Hate turned to vengeance, I believe, becomes sinful when that hate turns to an attack on another person or turns to contempt. Contempt is looking at other people and attacking their very sense of self. It's a hate that becomes disgusted with another person and condescending to them and acting as their superior. It's an active disrespect. That form of contempt, I believe, is sinful. But not the anger itself again. Because the anger points to something that's wrong. And also, when you think of anger, you think of fire. There's fuel in that. There's power in that. And when we feel anger, there's also a pull to do something. And so can a Christian hate? I would say yes. Because there is a time to feel the anger, to not bury it or block it or put a smile on it and be nice about it and be polite about it. But there's a time to listen to it. To listen to that anger, to listen to what it says about our values and about what's being violating, to get mad because we care. Because we care about justice. And because we care about evil. And so while it's not appropriate to walk up to a member of the elected administration and punch him in the face, it is appropriate to hate the evil and to give voice to love and compassion that fights that evil. So the session of Community Presbyterian Church, your session, our session here on Tuesday night, discussed a response to the family separation that we are witnessing at the border, and decided to sign on to a statement that was shared with us from a sister congregation. This was Tuesday night before the president signed his executive order on Wednesday. Session felt passionately enough to speak as a body and on behalf of this church that harm towards children and separation from their mothers is something that we stand against. To take some of the outrage and anger and direct it towards a shout for justice. In that way, we say, don't perpetuate this in the name of our church, in the name of the God that we know as love. But it's tricky, that line between hating what is evil but not turning to contempt. That we get more guidance from Scripture. At the end of this Romans passage, starting at verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves. This is not a retaliatory getting back. Vengeance is mine, God says, I will repay. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. By doing this, you heap burning coals upon their heads. Do not overcome evil by evil. Overcome evil with good. And so I was sad to hear the report of a member of the current administration who was asked to leave a restaurant. A restaurant whose job it is to serve food in the community. And the owner came down and recognizing that who was in her restaurant said, you know what, could you just leave? That also makes me mad. I'm mad that we can't sit down and see the humanity even when we are so divided from one another. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. What does that say? And so I still wonder about this. because it's a tall order that we get from God. But I know that you all are wiser than I am. And so I'm going to invite us into a little sermon talk back and reflection time. This is some of the stuff that we have done at the 9 a.m. service, but we're going to do it today at 10. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how it is that we as Christians can hate evil without returning evil for evil. Do you get that? Right? How do we say no to the things that are not of God, but in a loving way? Thoughts, responses. Is that a hand? No. I mean, right? We're figuring it out.
Taking a stand against evil is necessary. Being hateful to the people that are involved in this evil is not what God wants, and suggests that if we actually do the opposite, it actually affects them more. And there's the possibility of a change of heart. Mm-hmm. So that's what I can
input. Yeah, hating the evil but not hating the person?
Yes.
And taking a stand and saying something can be part of that. Yeah.
I think the secret is always to separate the act from the person, and the better job you can do at that, the more you can express your hate. Or when you think the act is shameful, but you're not necessarily shaming the person, mm-hmm. then it makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to say this action is an action that I stand against without saying that person is evil, like without saying you're the devil, right? But to say that behavior is not behavior that I agree with. Yeah.
I think that it's easier with people you know, relatives, close friends, when you disagree with something, because you already know the person, you know they're not an evil person, so if you don't agree with the view that they're taking, it's easier not to hate that person because you know they're a good person. But if you don't know someone, then it's much easier to put a stigma on them and say, oh, that's a bad person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So closeness. Yeah.
There have been situations where I perceive something to be evil, or an act, and I take it upon myself sometimes to make sure that I understand the whole issue. And I think sometimes we rush to judgment based on just a small snippet of information or knowledge about a particular issue. So with our freedom comes a responsibility to make sure that we are well informed and that we understand an issue and that we're not reacting to something that's put out there, say, by a news agency as a soundbite, which is little more than a business and an effort to get viewers. So I used to tell my dad sometimes that the news is a collection of the exception. It is not what everybody else is doing. And he would find a little article, and he would get all worked up over it and clip it out and save it for our next visit. and I just say that to other people. It's the exception.
Mm-hmm. So getting the larger story. Yeah.
I think it's important to avoid generalities. There are a lot of... Facebook. I have a lot of friends on Facebook who say, well, if you're a member of this party, then you're evil. If you're a member of that, not those exact words, but you're wrong. And I think you have to avoid generalities and you have to keep the lines of communication open.
Mm-hmm. It's very easy when you have a thought, and others have the same thought, not to get wrapped up in a cause and follow a group that you might not wholeheartedly support, but you were drawn in to begin with a certain issue, and you continue on, be kind of, you're comfortable around that because they thought the same thought you did. And so you it's hard to stand out as an individual always.
Yes. Yeah.
And not follow the herd, so to speak, mm-hmm. and to think a thought through. Be kind of, evil has a way of just taking hold of you.
Yeah.
Without you, even you can be a Christian and still it can get a hold of you and carry you the wrong way very easily. Be kind of, you know you're right. So you're just going to keep going that way.
Mm.
So it's not as easy as thinking through it as we can hear right here today. We can say, yeah, we do this, we do that. But it's very easy to get wrapped up into something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's might not be as evil as hurting someone, but it still is a cause that is not God's way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Evil can be subtle.
Yes.
Yeah. To segue in what Carol just said, it just reminded me something about Oswald Chambers says that we need to be careful as Christians not to get wrapped up in causes, not to follow a cause, not to follow a tradition, because we need to be following a person, a living person, right? Jesus Christ. And you know, God is not set in stone, right? That's why as Presbyterians, we believe that the word is living and active, and we are Reformed Presbyterians because we believe that God is a person and we can have this personal relationship. And so really, this is a very timely sermon for me. The only way that we can follow a person and not a cause is to be in communication with that person, you know, mm-hmm. really. And to have that prayer time and to recognize our own feelings. And it's so cliche, but really, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in these situations? We need to be looking at that every time.
Yeah. To follow up on what Carol and St. Laura said, how many of you heard when you were growing up, well, if Jimmy jumped off the bridge, would you? You know, we have it, or at least when you're a child, you have a habit of following the last word you heard. And I think we as we get older, hopefully we don't do that. But it's a lot of times we're led into something that we really, really don't have the complete picture of what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is not easy work.
I have a question concerning our use of evil here. Are we insinuating that our ICE people or immigration people enforcing the law, which Congress has made, and are we saying they're evil, or I'm a little confused.
Yeah, are we?
I have to admit that the issue with Sarah Huckabee Sanders and the restaurant has me torn, and that I struggle to find what would be the appropriate answer to it. Because on the one hand, members of the staff were uncomfortable serving her given some of the things that she in her official capacity had said about the ethnic and gender groups that the staff belong to. But on the other hand, turning her away closes the door on civil discourse that we need more of. So as we stand right now, I don't think I have the right answer to that situation. I'm trying to discern what the passages really said. On the one hand, don't respond to evil with evil. So, yeah.
In response to ICE, no, I don't think ICE is evil. I think some of the policies are not what our country stands for. But the people that are working in that capacity, they are following the law, and that's what they signed on to do. So they more or less, they can have their own opinion, but I'm sure in their job they have to do what their job calls for. Us who disagree with parts of it have other ways to, with voting or with outreach and being involved otherwise in a Christian concerning way, not to be in an uproar or to lump everything into one category. Mm-hmm. And they're people just like you and I that are trying to have a job. Maybe it's not a job they really like all the way too. I'm sure there's a job you have. You don't like every aspect of your job. When I was employed, I didn't like every aspect of my job. But what I did like, I tried to do a good job of. Mm-hmm. So if concerning ICE, it's a legal matter that we as voters have to be involved in.
So I hear some of that not hating the person, not attacking the person, but going, we have some concerns about what the policy is.
Yeah. One of the things that I speak to, though, is that when you see evil, and it's definitely evil or incorrect, that damages children, there's no excuse. You have to solve that problem quickly because children do not have the capacity to protect themselves. So this is not something that you can simply say, this is a bad guy or a bad law. You have to keep the pressure there to make sure it gets fixed.
So how do we, so that's the question, right? How do we stand up for what is right in a way that doesn't perpetuate more evil?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that I've got easy answers to any of this, but I want us to look at it, because I think we are in a particular day and time and age where we're being asked to look at things really hard, and we're being asked as Christians, as people who say that we follow Jesus Christ, who are, where is God in our world? And who gets to say what's in the Bible and what gets said and what God's will is? It's been really challenging, I have to say. Well, thank you for this discussion and for the respectfulness of this discussion. I don't expect us to all agree, but I hear the striving for faithfulness. Our next hymn has the words, grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. And that has been my prayer in this week and in working on this sermon, is knowing what it is. Okay, God, where is the wisdom? Where is the courage to speak against evil, but to do it in a loving way? I invite you, if you feel comfortable, to rise and let us sing our hymn together.
Thank you.
Amen. Please be seated. We're called to respond. To respond to God's word in action, in deed, in how we treat one another. We also respond with how we use our resources and our money. And so in this time of offering, I invite you to share the tithes and offerings and financial gifts, but also to take a moment to be thinking in your own heart how you might be responding to what you've heard from God this day.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.